Welcome back, everybody. It's Gridiron 6 here. So today we're going to mostly talk about the NFL. But before we get into the NFL, let's briefly go over some two topics.
Okay.
The NHL, since we barely touched over them over the past few weeks.
Yeah.
So I guess the biggest thing is two teams out of the Metro kind of flying under the radar right now, both being, I think the Caps are... Yeah, Caps are first in the standings in the entire league, and I think the Islanders are, like, fourth or something. But both teams absolutely killing it. But the Islanders recently had a 10-game
win streak, yeah.
But they still have a point streak of, like, 11, 12, 13 games, something like
that. Oh, yeah.
Along the lines of that. And the Caps are 9-0-1 in their past 10 as well. But both teams going under the radar. You pointed out to me something I didn't really know, but it was how much that Capitals offense.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
potent.
I really don't think from looking at the standings that, well, the Capitals have 74 goals this season. And you calculated that, and it was about averaging, what, about four a game?
It was averaging a little over four a game.
A little over.
The next closest goal total is, I think, 65. Yeah, 65 is
and
the next highest.
They have almost 10 more than that.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane. Now, granted, they're also giving up 55.
Yeah, but when your offense is scoring that much.
Yeah, it's you really don't have to worry about how much you're giving up when you're putting up that much.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the Islanders, like we mentioned, had, like, so many games in a row where they have a point. They only have 49 goals.
Yeah.
But they've also only let up 35, which honestly might.
Barry Trotz.
Actually, I think that's the least in the league.
Yeah.
So you have the team that scores the most and the team that lets up the least.
I mean, they've already played each other once, and the Capitals came away with a 2-1 victory.
Yeah.
So.
But early season success, that's what you need in the long season. So.
Yeah. But getting back, so that's the first topic that we're going to talk about. The second topic is a big one to Pittsburgh fans. How long is Sidney Crosby going to be out for?
Yeah. I didn't get a chance to watch the game on Saturday. But, like, it wasn't, like, instant. Like, it didn't seem like as soon as it happened, the alert came to me. Like, that wasn't the case. I got the alert after the game. And I also saw during the, like, I was following it on my phone a little bit when they went to the shootout, and I saw that he didn't go in the shootout. So I was like, I was questioning it a little bit. And then I got the report afterwards and says that he exited the game with another one that the team seems that they can't avoid lower body injuries.
Well, thinking right now from what I'm hearing is currently day to day, but he will not be playing tomorrow night against the Rangers.
I mean, it's definitely a winnable game, but
it's still a hit. You don't want that to turn out to be a long-term injury.
Especially
since he's still going to be getting reevaluated.
Yeah, you can't last very long without one of the top three players in the league.
Yeah.
The cornerstone of your franchise, so really do that long.
Well, that's all we have for the NHL. I mean, not really much is going on.
Wasn't really. I mean, it's one of those sports that there's so many games in a week, you can't really cover certain things, but unlike the NFL where you can cover game by game.
Yeah. But since you mentioned the NFL, let's jump into the NFL. We're going to start off with previewing tonight's game. Seattle Seahawks at San Francisco 49ers. You made a note about the 49ers. Should they be worried about having Kittle? Well, they'll be without Kittle, I should say. And honestly, yeah, they should be.
I mean, he's a very big part of their offense.
He's a big part of their offense in the receiving game, but he's also a big part of their offense in the running attack, how good of a blocker he is. And you already had Kyle Juszczyk out.
I mean, he's just an overall outstanding player. And you get a focal point of your offense missing against a very good team and a division opponent. Their winless or their undefeated record might be a little up for grabs.
In jeopardy tonight. What's your
prediction for tonight? I'm still going to roll with San Francisco because that defense is insane. And now I know that he's already played them before, but, like, mm-hmm. Richard Sherman just has an extra edge with him.
Yeah.
Playing for Seattle all those years, winning a Super Bowl, and now going to the division rival. And, I mean, he just wants to make them pay every game that he plays. And, yeah, granted that you're going to be without Kittle and you're going to be without Juszczyk, but they have three very capable running backs that can score.
Yeah.
And they gained Emmanuel Sanders, which only helps. And like I said, that defense gets pressure pretty much, you know, effortlessly.
Yeah.
No, I'm not taking anything away from Seattle, but I just think San Francisco just has that little bit of an edge.
If Seattle wins tonight, then realistically, Russell Wilson should be the main guy for MVP.
Well, if they win tonight,
it'll all be because of him.
Oh, for sure. Most of their wins are only because of him. But he would definitely, if he doesn't already, he would leapfrog into the favorite for that.
Yeah.
For sure.
But yeah, I don't know. Kind of leaning still towards the 49ers. It's tougher since you're out without Kittle. But I think I still got to go with the 49ers. I think more along the lines of, I think this game is going to be like 20 to like 17.
Yeah. I'll be surprised if it's a shootout.
Oh, yeah.
Just with how good both defenses play. But I'm just giving the edge to the undefeated team.
Yeah.
There's a reason they're undefeated.
Yeah. I mean, part of it's because of an easier schedule so far, but.
But this is where it'll count, and this is how you get into the playoffs, is you show up in the second half of the season, so.
Yeah. Well, moving on, who are the LA Chargers?
See, they played they played on Thursday, so they, you know, it's not fresh in our memory how good or bad the game was.
Well, it was bad.
They blow my mind away. They came off a very surprising win against the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
And show up in Oakland like they don't know how to play football.
Got curb stomped, basically.
Now, they did have – I mean, they were in the game the whole time pretty much. But, like, this team's supposed to be a Super Bowl contender. And right now they don't look like – they don't even look like they want to make the playoffs.
Yeah, they really don't.
They – I don't even know, like, what do you even consider this – I mean, Rivers, like we always say, is pretty much his Super Bowl window is closing, if not yet closed already. And this team hasn't gone through any major change.
No.
Yeah, Melvin Gordon sat out the first couple weeks, but you had Austin Eckler, who was just as capable of doing what Melvin Gordon does, and who honestly might be more of a commodity towards you than Gordon is.
Yeah.
I
mean, you didn't have Derwin James.
Which I don't – he might even be coming back this week.
You had I'm blanking on their pass rush.
Melvin Ingram was out for a few games.
He was out for a few games.
Yeah, but you play the Raiders. Like, they've been the punching bag of your division the past couple years. Now, that's no knock against Oakland because they're serious. I mean, they're a playoff hopeful team. I'm not going to consider them a playoff, you know, lock by any means, but I mean, that's a team that went through major, major turnover last year, had a down season, got what they needed in picks, and then come back this year with a very solid late first-round pick in Josh Jacobs, may I say.
Yeah.
And they're looking serious. Now, I'm not going to be like, oh, the Raiders are on our schedule. You know, I'm scared. But their next few games are very winnable, so they are going to be very much in the thick of things.
Exactly. Touch up again. Who are the Atlanta Falcons? I mean, I don't know.
See, this one's more of a head scratcher to me because, yes, the Chargers are still in the mix.
We can, well,
They're not completely out. Atlanta's completely out. Like,
I'd say the Chargers are out. I mean, okay, if you win that game against Oakland, yeah, you're still in it. But now that you lost that game.
Okay, but, like, that's the thing is, like, they still had a chance to be, like, in it. Atlanta was 1-7.
Yeah.
They are looking towards next year.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan's coming back, you know, off of an injury, which many people probably said, why are we even playing him if this season's for lost?
Yeah.
Okay. And you go in.
The best they can do is 9-7. But for me, that's not enough to make.
That's not even a wild card record for the NFC.
Yeah, for the NFC.
Yeah.
For AFC, most likely.
The AFC, you might even get an 8-8 team in there. But yeah, the NFC, you probably have to win double-digit games just to make the playoffs.
You might have to be an 11-5 team. And
they go into New Orleans, okay? 7-1 New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And you make them look stupid.
Yeah.
Like, do you not want a decent pick? Do you, like, are you still fighting? Now I get it. The NFL is the one sport where, like, tanking is not, you know.
Like a actual thing. But, like, yeah, it is.
It really is. Like, look at the Bengals. I mean, my Lord. But.
I don't even understand. Yeah. That team pissed off.
They're the most irrelevant, waste of a time to watch team. But, anyways, the Falcons are exciting. They're a very exciting team. They have talent.
They have a potent offense.
But it's just, it hasn't clicked these past 2 years, and we don't know why.
I mean,
all I'm saying is that team is going to get probably somebody good in the draft, and they're going to come back next year.
See, the thing is, they lost Austin Hooper.
For who knows how long.
Yeah.
But you're not taking a tight end in the first half of the draft, first half of the first round.
But you also have to take into consideration, is this last year of Julio Jones in Atlanta as well?
Yeah. Or is it the last year of Matt Ryan, like we said previously?
Yeah. Because you already got rid of Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah.
So now it's...
You have Calvin Ridley.
Who's a good wide receiver. But you still need other pieces.
Do you do what you can and get... Well, you can't now.
But at the draft?
But, like, at the draft, do you do what you can and try to get pieces for Julio? It's definitely not what Atlanta people want to hear, but...
No, but, like... They have to make a decision right now.
Yeah.
Can you win with Julio and Matt Ryan? If you believe that you can and that your window is open for the next
few years.
5 years?
Yeah. I mean, Matt Ryan was drafted in 08, and the 04 quarterbacks, well, they're all done, but, like, age is catching up to him. So I say Ryan has probably 3 years.
Okay, 3 years.
Yeah.
Can you win a Super Bowl in 3 years? If you're Atlanta, if you say yes to that question,
okay,
you hold on to both of them.
Yeah.
And you do whatever you can to build, to give them enough to get it done.
And granted, I see that as a yes, and, like, they'll probably answer that question yes, and you know why? Breeze is 40. Mm-hmm. Cam Newton's getting traded probably. Mm-hmm. And Jameis Winston is crap.
Yeah.
So
your division most likely...
You're going to have the best quarterback in the division within the next... year or two.
Yeah.
And I mean, Matt Ryan's space from Drew Brees is, like, pretty significant, but it's not like...
I wouldn't say it's that far off.
Yeah, but who would you rather have?
I mean, Drew Brees.
Yeah.
But,
and that's why I see that them sticking with it, but they're going to have to get blown away by an offer. Which I believe some team probably would give him.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't imagine what the haul for him would be. Can't even imagine.
It would be
a few picks, a few first round.
It would be a lot.
Yeah. The team that traded for him would have to know that they can win now.
Yeah. And, I mean, a team like that.
I mean, you always got to consider New England a possibility because they are not afraid to do something.
Exactly.
And they can probably convince Atlanta to take less than what they should get. I mean,
I could see the Jets.
I mean, the Jets would be stupid enough to do that. Not saying stupid, but, like...
They're stupid enough to mortgage their future.
For one man that...
I mean, he'd be a major...
He's a man. He's definitely worth it, but... Are the Jets the right team for him?
I'd say no. just based on age. And
if he's not content with staying in Atlanta when he has Matt Ryan,
yeah,
does he want? Would he be content?
Sam Darnold.
Oh my gosh, I don't want to see him post game.
Yeah. All right. Well, we touched up enough on Atlanta.
Yeah.
Tannehassee.
Yeah.
Has Ryan Tannehill officially won the job for the Tennessee Titans? I mean, they beat the Chiefs. So, I mean, see, that's hard. Because, yeah, honestly, you could say this. That you were able to hold that Chiefs offense enough.
Even though 400-some passing yards from Mahomes is kind of...
It's a lot. But at the end of the day, you got the win.
But you were also able to effectively move the ball on Kansas City's defense.
Which that's not that...
That's not hard.
That's not hard to do.
And we're going to touch up on that in a little bit. But, like, I think he's done enough.
Yeah, I mean, when you're comparing him to Marcus Mariota, it's... I mean, basically, they're kind of similar.
Yeah. At least career accomplishments, they're very similar, except Mariota has a Heisman, but that's college.
Yeah.
Not the pros. That's
not the pros.
His game has not translated at all.
Yeah. But I think he's done enough to win the job.
But it's just, do you keep him? You're already middle-of-the-road team. Mm-hmm. Your best, like, you're going to have to trade up probably to get a quarterback if you want one.
It depends on who you want.
I know, but they need a franchise guy.
Since Georgia has lost.
Yeah.
Jake Fromm, I haven't seen a single projection of him in the first round.
Which blows my mind because,
he's...
Yeah.
I'm not being biased here because I'm slightly a Georgia fan. He is probably the best quarterback in this entire draft class.
Yeah. I mean, Joe Burrow has exploded.
Yeah.
Like, his draft stock is completely...
But see, the thing of it is, okay, yeah, he's exploded, but is this a one-hit wonder?
I don't know. We knew about Tua for the past couple years. We've known about Jake Fromm for a few years. We've known about... Well, actually, Justin Herbert should have went out last year, but then came back.
Came back because he wanted to play a year with his brother.
Joe Burrow...
Came out of nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, he was the quarterback there last year, but no one really talked about him.
His stats last year compared to already this year, he already has better stats this year than he did all of last year.
And you're playing with a very capable LSU offense that always has decent receivers and a ground-and-pound running back. But that's for the bottom feeder teams to figure out or to screw up.
Yeah.
Now, granted, both of them could screw up.
Because realistically, I think Jake Fromm is the real gem in this draft.
Well, Jake Fromm is a proven leader. He's much better than the other two or the other three projected ahead of him in that category.
And I also think he's probably the best when it comes to pro readiness, got that pro style.
I mean, he's played in big games. He's already proven that he can win in big games,
I'm meaning system-wise too.
Yeah. More on the along the lines that I just like who he is as a person. Like, obviously the game you can watch, pick, whatever. When you see him on the sidelines, you just know that this kid's ready for it. Like, he's ready for whatever it is. Like, that's the unthought of stat when you look at a quarterback is he could have the yards and the passing, but is he with the team?
Yeah.
Or is he just more about himself?
Yeah, exactly.
Jake Fromm is definitely a team first person, and I think he's going to excel. And if Tennessee has the chance, I mean, even the thought of getting him should intrigue them.
I think they'll realistically probably go for Justin Herbert.
Yeah, but if I'm a Tennessee fan, I'm excited that, Tannehill's doing what he's doing, but I'm also not the person that's going to be like, hey, Ryan Tannehill's our future. Yeah, get rid of Mariota. I mean, they should get rid of Mariota, but
I think you need to draft a quarterback to have a little bit of quarterback competition. Yeah.
But even if he doesn't, take the chance on Jalen Hurts if he's there, if the others are gone. You know what I mean?
Are we talking first round still?
Not really, but
Because I would not take Jalen Hurts in the first round.
If you're in the middle of the pack of the draft, you have a chance of getting him maybe on day two. But, like, if the other four are gone, and those, I mean, those are the main four. Like, granted, one of the other, another one, like Jacob Eason, I'm pretty sure is able, is eligible for this draft, but he's not blowing anybody away.
No.
You just got the four that are ranked. Well, Jalen Hurts is ranked too, so he's the fifth. But, like, if none of those four are available by the time you pick, you got to go somewhere else. And please, for Lord's sake, do not take another receiver.
Yeah.
You've already taken two in the past three drafts.
Corey Davis and A.J. Brown should be your focal points on wide receiver from here on out.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, focus on your defense.
Yeah. You have a running back.
You have a running back.
Your offensive line is decent if they're not getting penalized.
Getting younger at tight end. But that's a free agent
move. Yeah, that's not something you go on the first 2 days.
You drafted a D-tackle last year.
Who I think has started playing, but he has issues. He has off the field issues, major off the field issues.
Yeah.
Your secondary is pretty decent enough. You have your safety locked up. You have capable enough corners.
Yeah.
So well, three actually, because I forgot about Adoree Jackson in my mind right there.
Yeah.
But get a linebacker.
Yeah. Start.
Start building your team, and if you can trust Tannehill for another year, do it. But if not. If one of the four are available, you strike what you can.
But now, moving on, should Kansas City be worried?
Oh, heck yeah.
You've lost four of your last 6 weeks. I know a lot of that was without Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, but that's not an excuse.
No.
Like, this team, like, yeah, Mahomes is literally that guy. Like, he makes everybody click.
Yeah.
But that team is talented enough on offense that you should be able to put up points galore no matter who your quarterback is.
Yeah.
You have Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce, LeSean McCoy, Damian Williams. Like, your offensive line is sturdy enough. You should be able to put up points.
Yeah, and you haven't been able to.
I mean, Mahomes is throwing for 400-some yards in his first game back after a broken kneecap.
But see, the thing of it is, though, is like, okay, they put up points against the Titans. They can't stop anybody.
Their defense is absolutely atrocious. I mean, they have a big two big names in Chris Jones and Tyrann Mathieu.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, wow. Liabilities everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's just – and what stinks is with Mahomes, you're going to be picking later in the draft anyways.
Yeah, no matter, so you're not getting a stud.
You're not going to get a superstar defense defender, you know?
Which
they desperately need. They need. I don't even know if they should go for a corner, a linebacker, a lineman. Like, they need all four facets of the defense. They need somebody.
Yeah, but.
But I think safety is their least concern because Mathieu can cover a lot. But you need a shutdown corner, which they don't have. You need a run stopping, blitzing linebacker. They don't have.
Yep.
And they need somebody. Well, they have Frank Clark. Okay.
Yeah.
They have Frank Clark and Chris Jones.
But Frank Clark has been hurt.
But Frank Clark's not his Seattle self.
Hmm.
You need somebody that can rush the passer.
You can't just beat those two.
No. And Chris Jones is supposed to be able to stop the run.
Yeah.
And they rank bottom five in the run defense. So.
All right. Well, moving on. Can you make the playoffs with just a dominant defense?
There's two. I wanted to point out two teams in general that I saw were very obvious choices for these.
Mm-hmm.
The first being the Chicago Bears. Like, I only put this up there because, okay, yesterday you won, okay? Congratulations. But what quarterback did you beat?
Yeah.
You beat Jeff Driskel, okay?
Yeah, wow. Seriously.
Congrats. If Matt Stafford played that game, you probably would have lost.
Yeah. That's being completely honest.
And this sucks, like, just taking a veer off real quick. The Lions had hope in the beginning of the season.
They did.
And now it's lost. But, like, I just feel bad for Stafford because he's capable of doing something.
He's played well this season.
But what – like, that team's well-rounded. I mean, it's not awful.
They're well-rounded in the aspect that they are decent everywhere, but not good or great.
Yeah. Stafford had Calvin Johnson and couldn't win with Calvin Johnson.
But they didn't have a running attack though.
No, and I mean they kind of do now, but he's hurt.
Yeah. They didn't really have a defense then either.
No, I mean they had Darius Slay is a shutdown corner, but corners only last for so long.
Yeah.
And
so you gotta
get something. I don't know. But now, okay, the Bears.
Can they make the playoffs without?
No one in the world. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Matt Nagy or Mike Ditka or anybody in related to the Bears. You cannot tell me you're going to win with Trubisky. And, like, serious. Like, tell me that you can win with Trubisky.
Maybe if this was last year when Trubisky was actually playing well.
But just look at the two guys, like, two obvious guys that they took him instead of. Yeah. Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. Where are both those guys going to be in when it comes January?
In the playoffs.
And where are the Bears looking like right now?
Top 10 pick.
Yeah. You have four.
Well, maybe top
10. You have four wins, okay?
Yeah.
A team that won the division last year. You have.
I mean, granted, to be fair, Vikings got better. Packers got better. So, like, that's a little bit understandable. Since I don't think the Bears really got any better.
Okay, but you still have a.
My thing is this. I felt that they didn't need to trade away Jordan Howard. And they did not need to draft a running back. Because I thought Jordan Howard was still competent enough.
Yeah.
Because, like, they meshed well. With Tre Cohen and Jordan Howard, they meshed well in that offense together.
And they hoped Montgomery would do the same, but he hasn't.
Obviously hasn't.
The offense can't put up points.
I feel like that's because the wide receiver core is really not that great.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big Allen Robinson fan, but I'm sorry. He's not a number one wide receiver.
No, but you also can say, like, the quarterback needs to put the ball where the players are. And Trubisky's just not doing that. Their defense is outstanding. There is nothing I would ever complain about that defense. If I had that, like, if I had Khalil Mack on my team, come on.
Which, honestly, he hasn't been good this year.
Well, it's just you can't blame it all on them because if they're on the field so much, you know, if the offense can't keep the ball, the defense is going to get tired and they're going to let up points. Yeah. It's just that simple. Exactly. But I think. I don't necessarily think the Bears are going to make the playoffs.
There's no way for me.
They're in that rough spot right now where, like, they have five losses, and like we said prior, you're going to need double-digit wins to make the playoffs in the NFC. And you have two teams ahead of you in the division that are more than likely going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Wait, so.
Plus, you're already in. So you already touched on how, like, that division's tough.
Yeah.
But not only that is that division tough, but that conference is tough.
Well, you have.
Because you're going to have.
You're going to have one team from the NFC East. I'm sorry, but, like, I think we can establish that one team.
See, the thing is, though, is you touched on. Okay, so you're going to have Green Bay and Minnesota, most likely.
Most likely making. But then you have the.
You have the NFC West that could have.
That has.
Three contenders.
Yeah. They have three capable playoff teams. And then the NFC South. Yeah, Carolina lost yesterday, but they're still
in
more than able to get it.
The Bears cannot make the playoffs, and they especially can't make the playoffs with just a dominant
defense. Well, all you need to know right now is that Trubisky needs to have a complete about face and for them to even have contention to somewhat make it.
Yeah. But moving on to the other team that you wanted to talk about, the Steelers.
This is my team, and I just want to go on a rant because – I was at the game yesterday. Mm-hmm. The defense has more than saved this team on multiple occasions this year. And watching that game yesterday, three plays into the game, okay? I think it was three plays into the game, three or four plays. Snap goes over Rudolph's head, taken back for a touchdown, okay? Yeah. Early indication, this is going to be a bad game. Then they muster up a drive to get Mason to James Washington touchdown, okay? That was it.
Yeah.
Like, that was your highlight of the day, was that three-something-yard touchdown pass. And it just amazes me because every big play was either a drop or a fumble.
Yeah.
And you have a quick turnaround this week because you play on Thursday against Cleveland.
Which is a very
important
game.
I mean, they needed the win. They got the win. That was one of their hardest remaining games until Baltimore in Week 17, really. Mm-hmm.
See, this is tough because I don't think you can win I don't think you can make the playoffs with just a dominant defense. I think you need both aspects. But here's the thing. You're in an easy AFC.
Yeah.
So.
And right now they are in the playoff. Like if the season ended today.
Today, you're in the playoffs already. After a
1-4 start. Yeah.
So it makes me believe that, okay, yeah, you guys actually have a chance.
Now, that could just be one game. But, I mean, Mason Rudolph has not been a game wrecker. He has not been.
But part of that's also play calling.
Yeah. And that needs to change. But it's, yeah.
I mean, okay, now let's be honest here.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's like the king of checkdowns.
Okay, but he also picks apart a defense. Like, he can do checkdowns, but then he throws the ball down the field and is able to put it in the right spot.
Yeah.
Mason did that last night, but the receivers were dropping it.
Yeah.
Or if they caught it, they fumbled it. It was just, I mean, it was a sloppy display.
It also has to do with what is your receiver doing with the ball after he gets the
ball,
too.
Yeah.
So.
I'm very optimistic that they can keep it up, like keep.
Yeah.
I mean, they can turn around. Like, that there's nothing against that Rams defense because that defense is very good.
Yeah.
With Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. But they need to pick it up a little bit in order for them to even be in contention for the playoffs. The offense needs to put up points in a bad shape. So.
But, so.
Let's talk about the surprise of the league.
A team is undefeated in the month of November so far, and that is the Miami Dolphins on a two-game winning streak.
Oh, I'm boy.
Sorry, but, like, congratulations, Dolphins fans.
You screwed yourself out of a franchise quarterback.
Not even that. You knew going into season you were going to tank.
Yeah.
You are so bad that you're losing the tank. Like, a win's a win, and, like, you don't want to go up. Like, you don't
want
to lose.
You don't want that 0-16 stamp on you.
No. But at the same time, you're what? Fourth?
Fourth now, yeah, at least.
Like, okay, Atlanta won, the Jets won, but you also won.
Yeah.
This was your week to ground gain on getting back to, like, that second overall.
But as of right now, like, Cincy has that on lock, but that you play each other later in the year. So you could let Cincy win, but that's you're still a game ahead of them.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. I mean,
you're just so bad that, you're so bad you failed to tank.
Yeah. So here's the thing. If you're Miami.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think they get a quarterback this year.
Which is really sad to say because every Miami fan's been tanking for Tua. That's just been the motto of the whole season.
But the thing of it is, though, is, all right, so the Bengals are most likely picking one.
Yeah.
And they're probably taking a quarterback.
But they don't – there's not one that jumps out at you, really.
I mean, they'd probably take Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm assuming probably the Redskins are two. Right now,
I think they are the only other. They're the only one-win team now.
Yeah. So you have the Redskins.
They're not taking a quarterback.
They're not taking a quarterback. And if they take Chase Young,
yeah.
First off, that defense, that front three
turns really scary.
Yeah, because now you have Jonathan Allen on one side, you have Deron Payne in the middle, and then you have Chase Young on the other side.
You can't stop all three. So
you can barely. You have a tough time stopping those two
and
alone.
With those three, if he stays for a couple more years, Ryan Kerrigan's going to rack up sacks again.
Matt Ioannidis, too.
So that's going to be scary. But then you have
– But see, the thing is for the Redskins, though, is do you do best player available, which would be Chase Young?
Which would – I mean, he's probably – he is that.
Or do you do need, and that's that wide receiver?
See, second overall is – Like, it doesn't make sense that you don't want to pick a receiver or a running back that high.
Do you trade down with Miami? Because they're probably like, okay, Tua's still in the
board. Miami has the capital to do so.
Yeah.
So, but then again, and this would even encourage Miami even more to trade up, what if Cincinnati takes Chase Young?
Yeah. Then you have your pick at quarterback.
Yeah.
Whatever one you want. I mean, maybe.
Miami, if that happens, I think Miami does whatever it can.
If that happens, first off, Miami's dumb.
Yeah.
Because Miami, like, I'm – okay, so I've already mentioned I'm a big fan of Jake Fromm and whatnot.
I think Miami's dead set on Tua.
Which I don't think is the correct move for that organization.
No, but – you get, like, if you're Washington, you're sitting there, you're like, okay.
We already have a franchise quarterback.
We have that. We have our future.
Not even to mention, I definitely think that the Redskins are trading down because they drafted Montez Sweat last year in the first
round. And that was a steal.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about a steal? Like, you got Haskins at 15 without moving. And two, you get Montez Sweat that late.
Plus, you also got, you have Terry McLaurin on your
team. You have a capable receiver. And you have a monster set at running back if they can all stay healthy.
Yeah.
But do you trade down and then, like you said,
take a receiver.
Take another receiver to pair with McLaurin.
I mean, I would.
Or do you take a corner and say, screw you to Josh Norman?
But see, depending on how much the draft capital you get, you do both.
Exactly.
So trading down for the Redskins. Yeah. Is probably the best move that they can possibly
if
make.
If it all stays where it is right now. Yeah. Now, if Washington, now this is laughable, but if Washington starts winning, which they probably won't, they could screw themselves over. But like you said, if they stay where they are now.
Well, if you start winning, okay, that bumps you down.
Yeah.
But then, okay, then you still take that wide receiver. Yeah. You have your second round pick. That's a high second round
But I
pick.
Can tell you the one team that's definitely getting a receiver, and that's the Jets. They're going to fight for whatever they can to get that receiver. And that receiver is probably going to be Jerry Jeudy.
But do you take him at 2 then?
No. I don't take a receiver at 2.
Taking a receiver in the top 5 is like...
sketchy, but is Jeudy that much better than everybody else? No.
Yeah.
There's like you do that because when Barkley was taken at 2 years ago...
Do you consider CeeDee Lamb an outside receiver?
Yes. Okay. CeeDee Lamb's fast.
Then that's what the Redskins should take.
I honestly would probably prefer him over Jeudy just because Jeudy has two other competent. Do you consider CeeDee Lamb? I don't know who their second best receiver is.
Yeah.
I really don't.
But you have.
But Jerry Jeudy has Henry Ruggs and Devontae Smith. I think that's his last name. You have a three-headed monster, and that could even be on Tua. That could be like, oh, well, he's this good because he has this.
Yeah.
Honestly, a reason that I see Cincinnati swaying towards taking Chase Young, Carlos Dunlap and Geno Atkins are getting up there.
They are.
And he's a home state kid.
But the thing of it is, though, is do you start – okay, if you're Cincy.
Uh-huh.
Do you take Chase Young? And then – I know we talked about this previously with Miami.
Yeah.
You take Chase Young this year, take Trevor Lawrence next year. Is that the move? You have another year where you tank.
Yeah. I don't know.
Especially since you weren't willing to trade AJ Green.
You want to win now, so they probably are leaning towards quarterback, but do you get rid of it? Like, do you keep AJ Green? Like, are we not seeing it? Like, are they waiting?
If I'm the Bengals, I would have traded AJ Green.
I would have, I would have seen what he can
get. Beginning of the year.
Yeah. I don't know, it's going to be a fun time, but yeah, Miami's just screwing themselves. I don't know what they're doing, but they have enough capital. They've amounted so much that they can get whatever pick they want.
Yeah.
So really, this could just be maybe they see that. Maybe they're like, you know what? Let's win.
Yeah.
Let's see what it feels like to win. And then when we get our star, we know the feeling.
All right, let's move into our last segment of the day, overreaction versus non-overreaction. We have three topics to discuss. First off, are the Ravens the NFC favorite?
The AFC?
Yeah, the AFC favorite.
I only put this on the list because they beat the Patriots. And, okay, you smacked the Bengals. Okay.
That's not saying much.
Wow. Congrats. You won a trophy, you know?
Everybody's done that.
I'm going to say it's an overreaction for myself because
it's a way overreaction.
There's just – it's so –
you beat the Patriots, but you beat the Patriots at home.
Yeah, and you also got smacked by Cleveland at home.
Like, when it comes down time for it, you're going to be playing the Patriots in New England.
Yeah.
And this is the second time that you're going to be seeing Bill Belichick.
But the thing that I worry is that Lamar is not a passing.
No, he's a running.
He's not a passing heavy guy. But he runs. And what do you do in January and late December and January? You run the ball because it's getting colder.
Yeah.
And they excel at that.
Yeah, but see, the thing of it is, though, is by that point, you're already expecting.
Well, when you're in the playoffs, you're going to be playing somebody again. Like, they play the Steelers week 17. They play, if they go in, they make the playoffs, which they probably will, they're going to see a team again.
But you know what you're what you're going to be dealing with.
Because think about this. You've already played the Patriots.
Yeah.
You still have to play the Texans.
Yeah.
You already played the Chiefs. You are going to play the Bills, and you already played the Steelers. All the other teams in the AFC, if the season ended today, you would have already played.
Yeah.
And they can all scheme against you.
Exactly. So, it's an overreaction for me.
Yeah.
Next one, are the Packers the scariest NFC team? It's an overreaction for me. I understand where you're coming from with this, but, like, no. The Packers aren't that scary to me.
I only say this because the 49ers are considered the favorite since they're undefeated.
I think the Saints and I think the Seahawks are the scariest teams.
Seattle, you can stop them because
Russell Wilson's on fire.
Yeah. But he's a mobile quarterback, so yeah, okay. Like I said about Lamar Jackson, you can run. Seattle has not played well at home.
No, which is
but they play amazing on the road. And New Orleans
just got spanked by
Atlanta at home. So like, but that's different because they're a dome team.
If you're saying that at the beginning of the season you get spanked by Atlanta,
yeah,
that's not that.
But this is week 10.
But this is week 10. You already know Atlanta's.
Could Drew Brees have came back a little too early?
Probably.
But see, what always concerns me about that is they're a dome team.
Yeah.
Now they are probably going to get a first round. Well, maybe not because the pack. Like this is why I say the Packers are up there. Mm-hmm. And if you let the Packers get the 2 seed, heck, even the 1 seed, because I don't see San Francisco staying undefeated the whole season.
Yeah.
You let the Packers get the 1 seed. You have to go into Lambeau in that weather.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. Especially because I would choose Aaron Rodgers over pretty much any quarterback in the playoffs except for Tom Brady.
Yeah, but
so and last one to wrap it up.
If Cowboys make the playoffs, they will be an early playoff exit. I agree with this 1,000%. If they make the playoffs, it will most likely be as the 4th seed, and they are going to get lose in the wild card weekend.
Yeah, and right now they would play the team they just lost to.
Yeah,
in Minnesota.
So yeah. I definitely – that's not an overreaction at all.
They need to realize that they have a very – a generational-type running back.
Yeah, and Zeke.
They need to realize that they need to run him.
Yeah.
Dak should not be throwing over 40 times a game. Heck, he shouldn't even be throwing in the upper 30s.
He should be throwing around 30.
Yeah. You have everything. You have Dak, who is capable enough to win games.
You don't have a stud safety, though.
You have, well, yeah. You have a generational running back. You have a number one receiver.
Yep.
You have a tight end who's more than capable of catching those check down balls and, like, security. You have an insane offensive line.
You have a great linebacker.
Linebacking core.
Yeah.
And when you say Sean Lee is your worst linebacker,
yeah,
that's saying something. Your corners, you have a shutdown corner.
Yeah.
You're front four is more than capable of generating a pass rush.
Yeah.
What is holding this team back?
Dak Prescott.
Wow. I mean, I can't disagree, but like it's either between Dak or Jason Garrett.
Yeah.
Jason Garrett's a terrible coach. I don't know when Dallas is going to realize that, but when was the last time they made the NFC Championship game? The 90s.
Yeah. So, yeah, I perfectly agree. It's a one and done for them.
Yeah, I, because like you said, they are going to be the 4th seed.
Yeah.
because all three other division leaders are insane.
Yeah, exactly.
And even that's if you say even you even win the division, because you still have to play Philly again.
Yeah.
And Philly is more than capable of winning. Because I would choose Carson Wentz over Dak.
Oh, 1,000% I would.
And this game's going to be in Philly, yeah, the next one. So you have to pick something up, because if you go, if you don't win the division, you're not in the playoffs.
Yeah, not at all. You don't have, if you don't win the division, you don't stand a chance.
That's the only division I am confident in saying there will only be one team.
For sure.
And then you have to play the second best team in a division who is very much better than you are.
Yeah.
Dak needs to pick it up. They need to give Zeke the ball. Other than that, this was a good season, a good week. This is finally a Monday night matchup we can be excited for.
Yeah.
Because it's between two capable enough teams.
Two good teams.
And just really to close it out, it is Veterans Day. So
yeah, thank you all to the veterans.
Thank you to everybody, men and women who have served in the military, because
appreciate you.
You are the true heroes. And I'm sure all the athletes would say that, like, you are the true heroes of this world, of this country.
Without you, we would not be here.
We couldn't be doing this right now without you. So
thank
you. Thank you again. And it's really sad that this is, like, the one day we dedicate, but, like, really it should be every day.
Yeah.
But it's the one day we just another day we'd like to say thank you. So
see you guys next week.